Imagine losing your keys, becoming a worry of the past. What if your phone could tell you where they were, not just in the living room, but down the back of the sofa again? It's a thought-provoking idea, and as it turns out, researchers were already exploring this concept over 15 years ago. Today, we're diving into a 2007 research paper that was even nominated for a Best Paper Award. It's called Symbolic Object Localization Through Active Sampling of Acceleration and Sound Signatures.
That's right. Kunze and Lukovich, the authors, proposed this method for our devices to basically figure out where they are using only sound and vibration.
So instead of relying on GPS or Wi-Fi signals, they envisioned using sound and vibration. Can you elaborate on what they mean by symbolic localization?
Sure. It's an important distinction. Think of it this way. Instead of using GPS coordinates, this research focused on enabling devices to understand their location in terms we use, like in the drawer or on the table.
That's fascinating. So how do they propose to achieve this? Do they need to invent some new technology?
Not at all. That's part of what makes this research so intriguing. They envisioned using a phone's existing hardware, a microphone, a speaker, and a vibration motor, no need for anything extra.
So, using components most smartphones already have, they sought to give these devices a sense of place. That's quite ambitious, especially for 2007. How did they envision it working in practice? The paper outlines a two-pronged approach. First, they used what they called vibration analysis. In essence, the phone would vibrate and then analyze how those vibrations and their corresponding sound waves traveled through the surrounding environment.
Precisely. Imagine the difference in how your phone vibrates when it's on a soft pillow versus a hard table. The way those vibrations propagate through different materials carries information about the surrounding environment.
That makes sense. And the second prong of their approach involves sound sampling, right?
Exactly. The phone would essentially emit a series of beeps at different frequencies and analyze how the environment absorbs or reflects those sounds. It's leveraging the fact that different materials have unique acoustic properties.
So a wooden table will absorb and reflect sound differently than, say, a metal filing cabinet.
Correct. And by analyzing these subtle differences in how sound interacts with the environment, the phone could begin to build a sonic map of its surroundings.
This is all starting to make sense now. And what I find particularly compelling is that this research emphasized using no additional hardware or infrastructure.
Precisely. And that was a key point. They emphasized this technology theoretically could work on any device with those basic components. It could democratize location awareness, making it accessible on a much wider scale.
Okay, let's unpack how they actually put this to the test.
Yeah.
I understand they conducted experiments in various locations, even a furniture store.
Yes, they tested in three main environments, an office, a living room, and a student apartment. The furniture store visit was interesting. It was central to one of their training methods, which they called abstract location class mode.
So instead of training the system to recognize, let's say, the kitchen table in your apartment, they trained it to recognize the broader category of wooden table, regardless of the specific table.
You've got it. That was the idea. Instead of focusing on specific locations, they wanted to see if they could train a device to recognize these broader categories, like wooden table or inside a closed cabinet. That's where the furniture store comes in.
I see. They went to a furniture store to expose the system to a greater diversity of tables, cabinets, and other furniture types. It was all in service of training it to recognize these broader categories. And how did that work out for them? Were they able to achieve this?
Well, that's where things get even more interesting. Let's dive into the results and what they revealed about the potential and limitations of their approach.
So we've established that this technology holds potential, but we also know researching controlled settings doesn't always translate to real-world experiences. What did the researchers observe from these real-world tests? Did their system deliver on its promise?
Their findings were pretty revealing, I'd say. In certain aspects, the system really exceeded expectations, but in others, it did encounter some unexpected obstacles.
Let's start with the successes. Where did the system really shine?
Well, when it came to pinpointing specific locations within a single room, the accuracy was quite remarkable. In several instances, they achieved an accuracy rate exceeding 90%, which is impressive, especially considering it relies solely on sound and vibration.
90% accuracy is significant, particularly for a system reliant solely on sound and vibration. What does this level of accuracy mean, practically speaking?
Imagine this. You've misplaced your keys somewhere in your house. With this level of accuracy, your phone could, theoretically, guide you directly to your keys, eliminating that frantic searching.
No more lost keys. It sounds like this technology could really change how we interact with our devices and even our environments.
It really could. And the applications go way beyond just finding lost items. The researchers imagine this technology transforming smartphones into sophisticated tools that could really understand and respond to their surroundings in ways we hadn't seen before.
Can you give us some concrete examples of what you mean by respond to their surroundings? What other possibilities could this unlock?
Well, let's go back to that abstract location class mode we talked about earlier. If a device can be trained to recognize these broader categories, like inside a cabinet or on a soft surface, it gains a kind of contextual awareness. So your phone, for instance, could automatically silence itself when placed inside your bag, or adjust its display settings depending on whether it's resting on a hard or soft surface.
Now, those are some compelling examples. Are devices adapting to their surroundings in such an intuitive way?
Yeah.
But you mentioned earlier that the system wasn't without its challenges. Could you elaborate on those?
Yeah, one unexpected finding was that the system had difficulty differentiating between a window ledge and other types of surfaces. And this actually highlighted a really crucial factor that influences the system's accuracy, the consistency of those sound reflection patterns.
Why would a window ledge be particularly challenging for the system?
Well, you see, window ledges, they can create these highly variable sound reflections, and that depends on a lot of different factors, like whether the window's up or down, even the thickness of the walls around it. Those variations can make it hard for the system to establish a consistent acoustic signature for a window ledge.
So while the technology definitely shows promise, it's clear that real-world environments, with all their inherent complexities and variations, present challenges that would need to be addressed. But even with these challenges, the potential here is undeniable. It really makes you wonder why we haven't seen this technology more widely adopted. What are the hurdles that prevented this, and what kind of advancements have we seen in the field since then?
Now, those are excellent questions. They really take us to a critical point in our exploration of this groundbreaking research.
So we're left with this puzzle, this technology that could potentially revolutionize our digital interactions, but it's been over 15 years, and we're not seeing it widely used.
Right. It really makes you think.
What factors have kept this technology from becoming more widespread? And, more importantly, what lies ahead for it?
Well, I think the reasons for its absence are complex.
Okay.
We've talked about how promising the research was in those controlled environments, but real-world settings introduce a whole other level of complexity that can be tough even for the most sophisticated systems.
It makes sense. The real world is a lot messier than a lab.
Exactly. Think about all those variables our phones encounter every day. Different levels of background noise, different building materials, even just people and objects constantly moving around.
All those things can throw off a system that relies on consistent sound and vibration patterns.
That's right. And these are challenges that the researchers themselves acknowledged. They knew further research and development were needed to bridge that gap between success in the lab and actual real-world implementation.
So it sounds like there was still work to be done to make it ready for prime time. But have there been any big advancements in sound and vibration analysis since this paper came out in 2007?
Oh, absolutely. This field has seen some remarkable progress, especially in recent years. Machine learning algorithms, in particular deep learning, those have shown huge potential when it comes to analyzing and interpreting that kind of complex sound data.
Deep learning, that's a hot topic these days.
Yeah.
But how does it apply to sound and vibration analysis?
Well, these algorithms are incredibly good at picking out subtle patterns, and they're adaptable to variations in data, which helps address some of those challenges that hindered those earlier efforts with sound-based location finding.
So it sounds like there's been a lot of progress in this field. Could this research, though maybe ahead of its time, serve as a foundation for a whole new wave of innovation in location awareness?
It's definitely possible. Those core principles that were laid out in that 2007 paper, they still hold up today. The whole idea of using a device's built-in hardware, that microphone, the speaker, even the vibration motor, to let it understand its environment, that idea is more compelling than ever, especially now, with privacy concerns becoming so central.
That's a great point. Compared to GPS, which needs external satellites and can be used to track us, this technology could offer a more privacy-conscious way to know where things are.
Right. It's a different approach altogether.
It seems like we're on the verge of a future where our devices can not only tell us exactly where we are, but also understand their surroundings in a way that used to seem like science fiction.
It's an exciting time, for sure.
As we wrap up our deep dive into this research, one question sticks with me. Will we see a resurgence in this sound and vibration-based localization? Maybe even the widespread adoption that it never quite achieved in the past?
It's hard to say for sure.
Only time will tell. But one thing is certain, the potential of this technology to change how we interact with our devices and the world around us remains as captivating as ever.
I completely agree. This technology really makes you think about the possibilities.
Thanks for joining me on this journey into the world of sound and location.
It's been my pleasure. Always a fascinating topic to delve into.